Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I tell you, I have missed you all, and I know that you have missed me. I've gotten some texts, some emails, some Facebook messages saying, when are you going to be back on the air? Well, I'm back. Praise God. I've been busy, busy for the Lord, preaching out, and that's good because I have been called to preach the gospel, amen, to spread the good news, and I'm excited about even being used of the Lord. It is a privilege to be a minister of the gospel. So I have been really, really busy. I had to leave town on last Saturday and go to a homegoing celebration for Mother Sylvia Singletary, and I send my regards, my love, my prayers out to the family, Prophetess Angie Singletary, Sister Linda McCray, Sister Tara McCray, Sister Daniela Singletary, all of the Singletary and McCray family. I send my prayers out to you as you make your way back home to New Jersey on today. But we had a high time celebrating the life of their mother, Mother Sylvia Singletary, who left a legacy. She has six daughters, and every one of them is saved, sanctified, and serving God. My God, six daughters, and every one of them saved. And that's a praise report right there. So I thank God for the life of Mother Sylvia Singletary, who is teaching us older women how to teach the younger women. Amen. Well, the Bible says you got to be prayed up. You got to be prayed up. Even as I was listening to that song today, I said, prayed up, what does it mean? I used to say a long time ago, what does it mean to be prayed up? I thought, this is what I thought, y'all. I thought it was just a cliche. I thought that it was a cliche when people say, you know what, you better be prayed up. And I was like, that really is a cliche because the Bible does not say anything about being prayed up. But how many of you know that we perish for lack of knowledge? I just did not know the truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth is you got to be prayed up. Amen. So the Lord led me to a scripture today, Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and I'm just going to start with verse 10 because I like to just start where it starts. Amen. Where Paul now is exhorting the church at Ephesus to have on and keep on the full armor of God. And in Ephesians 6:10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here it is, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all saints. My God, there it is right there. Paul says, praying always, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And that was Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And if you're in the battle, like most of us are, you want to go ahead and read that scripture and meditate on that scripture and constantly claim that scripture, saying, I have on the full armor of God. I have on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the peace. I have on the helmet of salvation. I have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and my shield of faith, my God. Above all, having that shield of faith so that you can guard off the darts of the enemy, of the evil one. My God, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against spiritual principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. My God, Satan is still at war against the children of God. And the moment that you decided to say, yes, Lord, the moment that you decided to say, yes, Lord, you went on the devil's hit list. And I'm telling you, the devil is busy. That's why you got to be prayed up. Amen? So we have to be prayed up. This is not a time to play. This is not a time to get lazy. This is not a time to forsake prayer. This is a time to constantly be praying. My God, praying unto the Lord. So I just thank God for revelation. You know, because when you go before the Lord in prayer, you are arming yourself with power. When you go before the Lord in prayer, you are arming yourself with power. Basically, what you're doing is you're going to God in faith, amen, because the Bible says that it's impossible to please him unless we believe. So you're going to God in faith, and you're saying, God, I believe that you exist, and I'm coming to you looking for wisdom. I'm coming to you looking for direction. I'm coming to you even asking you to intervene on my behalf and deal with some of these enemies, deal with some of these trials and tribulations that I'm dealing with. And I'm telling you, each and every time that you do that, God endues you with power. When you pray, you are entering into the presence of the Most High God, and you are coming out. You cannot come out of his presence without some power. Amen? So I want to encourage you to just keep praying. Even when it looks like nothing is happening, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep seeking God's face. Keep asking God for direction. Keep asking God which way you should go. Keep asking God to intervene on your behalf or even on the behalf of the person that you're praying for. Keep asking God. Do not grow weary in this season. Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary in well doing. But before that, 6:7-8, Paul exhorts the church of Galatia, and he tells them that God is not mocked. He says, if you sow to the things of the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the things of the spirit, then you'll reap life everlasting. And I'm telling you, that word for life again is Zoe. Everything that you need, you can receive from God through prayer. Amen. Everything that you need, you can receive from God through prayer and through praise and through preservation, perseverance, my God, continuing to press, my God, refusing to quit, but saying, you know what, God, I'm going to keep moving forward with you. Amen. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't quit now. It is too soon to quit. Amen. Amen. Well, that's it for my monologue. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I'm back, amen, and I welcome you to Women Show. This is a call-in, open-line show, so it's going to be on and popping, amen, because all of you are going to call in, and we're going to talk about some hot topics. We're also going to talk about some hard topics. So we're going to talk about what's going on out there in the world, in the church, and then we could talk about what's going on the inside of each and every one of us. What's on your heart? So call me, 646-652-4832, and let's get this Holy Ghost party started, amen, as we begin to talk about some things that have been going on since the last time we met. The chat room is open, so you can go into the chat room. I want to say hello to Minister Valerie Allen. God bless you. And the Grace Power Hour. I also want to say hello to everybody on the phone lines. I see some familiar faces. I see Sister Erica. God bless you. My friend Rosalind Mitchell. That's all of the joke, amen, calling from down south. I see my God, Sister Tina Lane, God bless you, and Kathy and Ray Jones, God bless you. It's good to be back. Pastor Emily should be coming on later. It's good to be back. I've been busy, and I just am so glad that you all have come to join me on today. And I'm looking forward to seeing a whole bunch of you on this upcoming Friday. And I see a hand raised. So we're going to jump right in and take some calls. Right after I say this, I am looking forward to seeing all of my friends and my foes on this upcoming Friday. I'm excited. I am so excited. I will be officially commissioned into the office of Prophet, and I'm really excited about that. A little bit nervous, not scared, just trusting God, just saying, Lord, I've been prophesying for years, for maybe 13, 14 years, but I have never looked at the office of prophet. I said, well, I'll be fine. Just let me prophesy here and again. I don't really need the title. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything special. You know, anybody that meets me will know that I prophesy. And God, said it's time. God said, no, it's time for you to step up and take on the mantle and the mandate of prophet, of an end time prophet, right now, a woman servant that will be my mouthpiece. And anybody that knows me knows that I am a mouthpiece for the Lord. I will not bend, I will not bow, I will not compromise. So I'm excited about that. And it's going to be this upcoming Friday for those of you in the New Jersey area at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at New Creation Christian Ministries. That's my church. And my apostle, Matthew Tillery, is coming from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. We're going to have a healing and deliverance service, and we're going to see signs and wonders, miracles, and we are going to be commissioning this woman of God into the office of prophet. So if you can come on now. That's 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. And if you put it into your GPS, put first with the one, because it won't pick up if you spell out the word first. Amen. Amen. Well, that's my announcement for today. We're going to take some calls. We have a hand raised. I want to pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name. We thank you for this broadcast, woman to woman. We thank you, Lord, for being back on the air. We thank you for all of the callers that have already assembled and those in the chat room. Lord, we just ask that you have your way. We bind the very spirit that will try to come against this broadcast. And Lord, we ask that you would save souls, change lives, set the captives free, answer questions for those who are seeking answers on today, God. Heal the sick, oh God, and set some on purpose. Fill us with power on today, even as we fellowship for these 2 hours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a hand raised, two hand raised. We're going to take area code 754. First caller, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman broadcast.
God bless you and congratulations, Prophetess Simmons.
Amen.
I love
God
what God is doing.
And I believe it's Apostle.
Yes.
Apostle
Tabitha. Yes. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for what he's doing in our lives. Because you prophesy does not make you a prophet.
Yes.
I know you know that, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, to the listening audience. Because a person prophesied does not make you a prophet. But the office has a lifestyle different from any other office in the fivefold ministry. And this is what we have to adhere to and adjust ourselves to. Because, and so ironically, Prophet Simmons, yesterday, maybe if you can we'll get time to go online and pull up Chuck Swindoll. Yesterday he gave the accurate definition of the prophet.
Wow.
And just to encourage you, listen to what he says about that. And I went down the checklist and I'm like, wow, okay. The prophet does not compromise. The prophet has no problem. The prophet has no problem speaking the truth regardless to who wants to hear it or who likes to hear it. The prophet will never come in speaking blessings without first speaking correction.
Yes.
Most of us thought prophet only had cars, houses, and money in their mouth. I've never seen one in the Bible that did that. that's not the prophet. And if you do something other than that, you're not a prophet. But I beg to differ, because the prophet is the person that brings correction, and he also points us to Jesus. Whatever he's talking about, it got to be about Jesus. He got to bring, he has to, watch this. Prophet also must maintain the lifestyle of holiness.
Jesus.
How can you hear from God? How can you hear from God? God ain't speaking. Watch this. If God is not speaking to you about you, there's nowhere in the world he's going to speak to you about me.
Go ahead and teach it. That's true.
There's no way. How can God speak to you about what? Okay, let's say what the Bible says. Jesus said, how can you tell your brother about the mote? A mote is a real small speck in his eye when you got a beam poking out your eye. Look at the builder's beam. Now, you see how big that beam is? You got this big old thing sticking out of your eye, and you can't see that, but you can look all the way across the room and see this little mote, this little speck in the corner of my eye. It's impossible. It's impossible. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that's not what I called in about. You said some of the heart issues. I wanted to talk about this, the church's reaction to Trayvon killing. Trayvon Martin killing.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that for a second, because the church rallied behind, which I got nothing against. I'm not saying nothing against that. Thank God. But why can't the church take that same energy and go into our neighborhoods and rally the people to Jesus?
My God. You're speaking truth right there, sir. My God. Go ahead. Wow.
That's what I have issue with that. The killing was not right. I'm not saying it was right. And no, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have said anything about it. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that people are dying in our communities every day without Jesus. And the church would march and do this for Trayvon, who is dead and gone. And the people that are still living, you don't say a word to them.
Yeah. Wow.
The church, when I was growing up, and someone corrected me yesterday, we don't have a little light. But they used to sing a song that says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all in my neighborhood. What's going on?
Wow.
You stop letting it shine in your neighborhood, because you don't tell your neighbor, you don't tell the community about Jesus.
Oh.
But we can show up in masses and march down the street. Why can't we show up in masses and march down the street for souls? For souls to come to know the Jesus.
Because I'm tired
of prophetess. I'm tired of preaching to folk who don't want God.
Mm.
I'm tired of preaching to each other. You're supposed to already be saved. So I don't want to preach to you no more. I want to preach to folk that don't. Where's the challenge? And all we're doing now is just prophesying to each other about foolishness, and God is nowhere in it. Yeah. Thank you.
That's powerful. Yeah, sir. That is powerful, because, you know, I agree. You know, the church rallied around this issue. You got pastors on TV wearing hoodies, you know, and everybody you know, putting on a hoodie and, you know, Skittles. I even bought a bag of Skittles the first week of the incident when I was in the store with my daughter. She bought a bag of Skittles. I like Skittles anyway, but, you know, I went ahead and bought a bag of Skittles. You know, but the thing about it is, you're so right that we are coming, it's too little too late. And, you know, here we see these guys on the basketball court in every one of our neighborhoods. every week. We see them in the hood. If we will leave our suburban areas for those who have moved out and go back to the hood where a lot of our young black brothers are, you can find them on the basketball court. You can find them on the corner. You can find them in front of the liquor store. You can find them as our young brothers who are in trouble. Not all black men are hanging out on the streets, but I'm saying the ones that are in trouble that don't know our God, we know where to find them, but we don't find ourselves visiting those places. You know, and you're so right. And these are the ones that are in trouble. I got a call late last night, that my own nephew, who went to church with me last weekend on Easter, I finally got his mother to bring him to church for Easter. He's 15 years old. He got his jaw broke last night. You know, somebody came up to him, and there were two guys, and they jumped him, and they broke his jaw. And he's in the hospital right now as we speak, waiting to have an operation to have that jaw wired. And I'm saying to you that you're absolutely right. I'm saying to the church that we have to reach. Not only, we don't even have to go out in the streets to find them. They're in our own families.
There you go.
But we looking at them with disdain. We are looking at them with disdain, you know, because they have the pants hanging down and, you know, little scrunchy T-shirt. You know, they got their little swag going on, and we don't really understand that swag. So we're looking down on it instead of looking with compassion like Jesus did and reaching out to save the soul. And I say we because I say we to make it inclusive, but I am one who will reach out to these guys. You know, I am one who will go out and talk to the young men. I'm always that mother, my husband said to me the other day. We were in the store, and I went up to the counter. We were buying food, and these boys, guys came in afterwards, these young boys, and they bought food, but they had the whole counter filled up. So when the guy called us to get our order, I literally had to go and stand between a small space between them because they would not move out of the way. And I stood there, and they kind of moved a little bit, you know, so I could have my space. But, like, I guess they were like, who is this crazy woman that has the nerve to come and stand between us like this, and she has no fear? And then when I was leaving, I turned to them as I walked away. I turned back, and I said, okay, you young men, you take care, and you stay out of trouble, okay? And they didn't say anything. I said, okay, y'all take care. And they turned and looked at me, and they were like, yes, yes, okay. You know, because I took the time, and that's all they need is someone to take the time.
That's it.
Take
that's
the time.
It.
Take the time.
That's it. That's it.
So I agree.
Just don't ignore them.
Yeah. They are our
Just
brothers.
Just don't ignore them.
They are our sons. They are our brothers. They are our nephews. They are
that's God's right. That's right.
Children. You know, they're not. There go I. Where were you at 15?
There you go. There you go.
My God. But you're right. And Trayvon, maybe we could take his death as inspiration to get up and do something
mm-hmm.
different.
Mm-hmm.
But what
in the
say,
house of God.
In the house of God. But what would you say to the people who will say, well, we're preaching the gospel. The pastors are preaching the gospel. They're pastoring the flock. They're shepherding the flock of God, which is amongst them. That's the pastor's job. You know, the evangelist. What would you say to the person who would say, well, I'm doing everything I can. I'm doing what I know to do.
It's time to do more.
Wow.
First of all, it's time to do more. It's time
wow.
to do more. You know, you see, Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And what he meant was, don't stop doing the work of God to go and you know, don't let nothing stop you. We got too many excuses in the body. Well, it's too hot. It's too this, it's too far, it's too that. And we let anything come up, you know, the Lord will drop an idea in your mind and, okay, well, this Saturday, why don't you go down to the mall and pass out flyers or tracts? Well, I ain't going out there with them people. But like you said,
that's
how would they
point.
Hear?
Wow.
How can they hear? unless you're without a preacher. How can the preacher?
Wow.
So when God says, it's not about you shepherding people. This is what I tell folks. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to go out, point them to Jesus, and then lead them to a Bible-based church such as yours in your community. I'm down in South Florida. So we need to lead them to a Bible-based, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Holy Ghost living, holy living church. And let the pastor of that house, most of the time what you think is you're going to have to start pastoring, and that's not your position. You let the pastor pastor. You just go out, and the Bible, well, not the Bible, but they say, but sheep beget sheep. So sheep go out and win sheep. And then when you bring them to the shepherd so that the shepherd can guide them. And I see a lot of times people go out, and now you want to start your own church because you went out and evangelized five folks. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're out of order. You're totally out of order because that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is go out and tell somebody. Go out there and minister. Minister, tell them about Jesus. That's what. And watch this. You don't even have to have a license to do that.
Nah. That's good. That's
you don't even
good.
Have to have a title. You don't have to have a title to do that. You don't have to be looked at and ordained and consecrated to do that. Well, if you're Bible-based, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost filled, watch this. Let me emphasize that. Holy Ghost filled, holy living. A person that live holy. Now you are qualified to go out and win the loss at any cost. But if you're not, if you got issues, then maybe you ought to stay home until you work out your own issues. Because what you're doing and what's so bad about it, because you don't understand the realm of spirits. Spirits, when you're not right and I allow that spirit to operate in my house, in the spirit that is on you, I've given them permission to go and now attach yourself to the people that are here. So if you're not ready.
You have to say that again. See, that is crucial. What you just said, you have to say that again because a lot of people don't understand that transference of spirits.
You must stay in the house long yourself right before God, before you go out and tell somebody. Because if I got a message, Prophetess Simmons, I got a message that I preach. Where did you get that from?
Wow.
You came off the street. Watch this. You came to the street, and the only advice you had was drink. You drink. You like to drink when you came to church.
Uh-huh.
Now, the person that you're sitting under has a homosexual or a lesbian spirit. Now, you're sitting under that. That spirit has attached itself to you. So now you're walking around talking about, I think I need me a woman or I need me a man. Where did you get that from? You
That's
got
good.
That from the church. Because
That's
it's
good.
Not supposed to.
My God.
And now everywhere you go, okay, so now you got that lesbian, homosexual. So you leave that church and you go out the street to the next church. Well, that preacher, he got gambling vice on him and drugs. Now you just drinking. Now you're borderline homosexual lesbian. Now you want to gamble and now you want to do drugs. Because of all the spirits that you have attached or you have set under. And so what I'm saying to us is before you go minister, make sure that you are 1,000% holy and delivered from everything.
Wow.
So that all I got for you is the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing I got for you is the Holy Ghost because but we got to work on ourselves first. And that's one bad mistake the church is making. We're allowing people to go out who have not been delivered. Ezekiel 40:43 talking about you went out and here you are, you brought in people who are not circumcised, there's other uncircumcised, never been saved. And God said, you allow them to handle the holy things in
Jesus.
My house.
Oh, my God. What's
that
scripture?
That's Ezekiel 43. Because in the 43rd, I'm getting it now. I'm gonna make sure. You
it's
have brought in. Mm-hmm. 43.
Jesus. Yeah, that's powerful.
Go ahead and talk for a second. Here it is. I'm sorry. 44 and 7. Because when you brought in foreigners and uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh to be in my sanctuary, to defile it, my house. And when you defile and when you offer my offering, my food to the fat and the blood, that they broke my covenant because of all of your abominations. And you have not kept charge of my holy things.
Jesus.
You haven't done it because you know the requirements.
My God.
You know,
my God.
If the person is struggling and you know they're struggling, they got no business operating in the house of God.
My God.
Until they first get delivered.
Jesus. Wow. See, that'll get you stoned in a lot of places.
Thank you. That's why I'm who I am. That's why God is elevating you to the prophetess, because these are the things that we must say.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm praising God. Thank you, Jesus. Because, you know, like, you could get like Elijah and feel like you're the only one. And God said, no. There's a remnant. There's a remnant who have not bowed. There is a remnant. So I thank God for the remnant today, Apostle, you know, because we have a form of godliness. There's a form of godliness.
There you go.
We deny the power thereof. You know, there is no power, and because there is no holiness. You know, we have to be holy, still right. It's not just a cliche. You know, so many people say, well, you got to be holy. Holiness is still right. But they themselves are not living worth for nothing. And stop saying, you know, I do not think that I'm being mocked. I will not be mocked. Whatever things you sow, those are the things that you're going to reap. And we need to be holy. We need to keep preaching holiness. We need to keep preaching that God desires that we be holy because he is holy. You know, and he has given us the ability. So many people make excuses and wow, this is on my heart and I know it's on your heart, because so many people make excuses for not living right. When they say they can't help themselves. And, you know, that's a lie from the pit of hell.
Oh, yeah. You can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want to do. You don't want to do it, I can't do it. It's too hard because you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Holiness is not hard. It's harder to live in sin once you know the truth. You want to really say what's right. It's more difficult to live in sin if you know what's the truth, and you keep going on in what's not right. And somebody, thank the Lord for you. We got to sound the trumpet. Show the people. Cry loud, spare loud. Show my people their transgressions. This is why we don't see power in the church. This is why we don't see deliverance in the church. Because there's just, oh my God. And prophetess, you should have been with me last Friday night. I walked in the church and I told them, they asked me to come up and have words. I told them I smell sin in here.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
They looked at me like, what? I said, I smell sin in here. How do you smell sin? Because the Bible says, everything is got to be, the Bible got to back it up. The Bible says sin stinketh in the nostrils of God. So that let me know that sin has an odor.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it does.
And
wow.
Then we got to know what odor we're smelling. What sin is it? So I began to tell them the different odors, the different sins that is in this house. Yeah, I don't care.
But Jesus
is going to be hated. Prophetess, he said you will be hated for no other reason but for my sake. Because why? The truth is in you. The spirit of truth is in you.
Yeah.
People hate the spirit of truth. There's nothing you did. They already know you. But they won't like you because the spirit that resides in ours, in us, the spirit of truth that is in us.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the Bible says that it's only the truth that's going to make you free, and it's going to make you free. You know, people don't accept truth willingly. We have to, you almost have to force feed the truth, because people, the truth hurts. But my husband also says, without conviction, there could be no change. You know, the truth does not come to condemn. The truth doesn't come to condemn. And if you're feeling condemned, all you got to do is get in Christ, because the Bible says there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So once we get in Christ, then we've already beaten condemnation, but then we have to deal with the conviction. And how we deal with conviction is through repentance. You know, we have to repent, you know, and turn. I mean, repentance means that I totally changed my mind about the sin that I used to love. You know, I totally changed my mind. Now the sin that I used to love is like me going back to my own vomit. You know, the sin that I used to love is totally repulsive to me. I hate the very sin that I used to love. That's when you know that you have repented. It no longer has an allure, no longer has an appeal to you. And that's what we have to do. And we can do that through the power of Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus saves to the uttermost. You know, so there is no way you can tell me that I can't be, you know, God delivered me, Apostle Amaker. He delivered me from men, from drugs, from alcohol, from low self-esteem, from lust, from jealousy, from gossiping, from, you know, just hating on people, competing, that competing spirit, fear. He delivered me from all of this stuff. And you mean to tell me that he's a liar, because he says he's no respecter of persons?
There you go.
If he can do it for me, if he can do it for you, and we are by no means perfect, but we press. You know, Paul says, I haven't achieved
it.
But I'm making no excuses for my sin. I mean, my sin, if it becomes my sin, then, you know, I'm going to take the chastisement and move on. I'm going to repent, because I make no excuse for sin. I press towards the mark of the high calling. And if you do that as a habit, if you make pressing towards holiness a habit, then you'll find yourself walking holy more so than you'll find yourself in the flesh and walking in sin. If you just do it, you know, if you decide, I don't want to eat any pork, and you don't eat pork for 21 days, at the end of that 21 days, you're not even going to like the taste of pork. You know, you're going to have to force yourself to eat pork again. The same thing with sugar. It's the same thing with sin. We can do this. You know, we can do all things through Christ. And if we couldn't do it, God would not have commanded for us to do it, you know, especially in the New Testament, once the blood of Christ was shed. So I just, you know, it's a sore spot with God. I believe that, and I know that sin is a sore spot with God, because it gives the church a black eye, because sin is prevailing in the church as opposed to holiness. And we just got to we got to get out of entertainment. We have to get out of trying to tickle the flesh, preach sermons, and we got to get back into telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so the people can be set free. We, you know, it's awful. I believe the fivefold ministry has a lot of accountability and responsibility in this, because the fivefold ministry is not functioning properly in their position.
Right.
And the people are, you know, the blind are leading the blind. That's what you were talking about. People are jumping into position. They're jumping into title, but they're not getting into position because they have not been gifted for that position. And now they're operating out of order, and no one is being set free. You know, so you have sin perpetuating sin. You know, in other words, that pastor who's a homosexual, that pastor who's a whoremonger, that pastor who's a whore, that pastor who has an alcoholic demon, these people now are passing and transferring these spirits throughout God's church. And we have to, it has to stop. You know, so for the fivefold ministry gifts, for the preachers, those who have know your call, you got to hear what God is saying on today. God is saying, get the sin out of your life.
That's right.
Get the sin. Get the sin out of your life. You cannot cast out demons if you you're possessed by a demon.
You said two words. You said two words. Conviction. We must preach messages that bring conviction. And stop trying to feed itching ears. Preach me happy. Make me jump. Make me run. No, make you sit down and take evaluation of the way you living. Because regardless to what's going on, you're going to hell. And hell is much longer, much worse than what you're dealing with now. You think you got it bad now. Wait till you get in hell. And I told him the other night, hell don't have no exits. So once you get there, you ain't in the wrong place. You can't get out. You don't get no get out of jail card free. You don't collect $200, but you there forever, forever and ever and ever. Then the second word you said, was repent. The reason why people don't know how to repent is because, one, the preacher has never, we don't teach repentance. We teach apologize. That's what we teach, apologize.
My God.
Just apologize to God. You see, repentance means I turn away from. I'm not doing it no more. Apology says, I've done it, and I'm going to do it again. But I'm sorry. Forgive me for now. I'm sorry, prophetess, for calling you what I just called you. But the next time, if you get me aggravated again, I'm going to call you that again. Because I apologize. But see, if I repent, I'll never do it again. I turned from.
That's
good. And the church, we do not show people because you, watch this. You sin today, you get up and preach all week, you go all week, and you do not repent before God, and you come back and you preach in your sin. So people keep coming to church in their sin because we're never telling them to repent. You tell them to say a sinner's prayer, and that don't do nothing. That don't do nothing. That's like standing in the shower and don't ever turn the water on. It don't do nothing for you. But repent.
Hey,
repent.
Wait.
Be God in sorrow.
Wow. I see you, callers. I see you. We have two callers.
Go ahead, sis.
We're going to pick you up in a minute. I didn't want to cut you off. But you say that's true. No godly sorrow. I didn't want to cut you off in the middle of your, just stay with me. Give me one more minute. I see you call us. We're going to put you in the air. No godly sorrow. There has to be godly sorrow.
That's it.
Wow.
Go ahead. I'm good.
Listen, Apostle, you have stirred some things up because they got there in the chat room saying, are you taking calls? And I got people on the switchboard. Stay with me because I would love to have you continue with your input on some
of
the
questions. I'll be listening. I'm going to mute myself, but I'll be listening.
Okay, great. Okay, amen.
Thank you.
Capitalist Fox, you're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman Show.
My cock is in your bum, you filthy fucking slut, and next I'll do your mum, you pair of dirty fucking moles.
Okay, that was interesting. I bind you up, devil.
That's what we get. That's what we get for teaching the truth. That's what we get. Now we know we're in the enemy's territory, and we come to destroy it.
Yeah, I want you to keep listening. Capitalist Fox.
Yeah.
I want you to keep listening. Don't hang up. Keep listening. We'll come back to you later. the devil don't like that. Now, see, and you think, you know, most people want to say, get mad when things like that happen. But what we have to realize is that when you go into the devil's territory, you are entering and engaging in war now against those spiritual principalities, that spiritual wickedness in high places. You have declared war. When you start doing what God really called you to do, you're going to come up under attack. So let me take another caller. Area code 417, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman Show.
Well, greetings and salutations from our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you for being the host of the show. And I thank Apostle Amaker for putting in what he's putting in. I'm telling you, it's holiness or hell, folks. You know, this is what it's all about. I mean, they're like Apostle just got done saying, hell doesn't have no exits. You're there. I mean, you know, you're going to say, I done wrong. No, it's too late. We're loving you enough to tell you the truth now, you know. And like Apostle said, hey, people are going to hate us, you know. And that's the truth. But when you start speaking the word like Apostle and yourself and me, we're all speaking the same thing, is just about getting right with Jesus Christ. Repent of our sins and get right. You know, this is what it's all about. And, you know, in the churches, and I'm not dogging anybody, but like Apostle said, there's a whole lot of poo-poo offerings going up when you're raising your hands up to the Lord and you're in sin, and he's saying, P, you put your hands down. You
stink.
Yeah, I can't take it. You know, so we got to, you know, get in there and just do what the Lord has called us to do. And this man is on in the chat room. He just needs Jesus. He just needs Jesus.
Yeah, that's all it is. Wow, that's the same person I believe that was calling in. And I'm just going to pray for this person.
That's right.
Holy name, Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name. We pray, Father God, for L. Fox, the person who's in the chat room, the same person that called in, oh God. Lord, we bind up the spirit of Satan up off of his or her life right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus, you came to set the captive free, and you have anointed us, oh God, to cast out demons. So we cast out this demon, Father God, that's activated through this person right now.
That's right.
Of Jesus, and we declare them set free totally in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive this person, for they know not what they do.
That's right.
But Lord, just pray that you will have mercy on their soul, Father God. We, Father God, want this person to be saved, oh God. We realize that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but spiritual principalities, wickedness in high places, oh God, and that this person is demon-possessed. So, Lord, we speak that the spirit of this person said, be loosed in the name of Jesus, and we bind up the hand of Satan off of this person's life, God.
Yes.
Let them word and let them be set free today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So whoever you are, God is setting you free. The prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective, and you may not get it today, but you're going to get it. And God's going to do what he has to do in your life. So we declare it in the name of Jesus. So is this Revival Fire?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, and you are so right. You know, people don't talk about hell too much anymore.
No.
Go
ahead.
I thought that voice sounded familiar.
Yeah, the same here.
Yes. And you know,
amen.
I don't think, but I know we need to let that continually be a word that we preach about, because it's in the Bible and it needs to remain in the church.
When I wasn't saved,
I was sitting in a funeral home one day at a funeral, and my aunt turned to me and she said, you see that casket? She said, and you see this funeral home? She said, one day you're going to die. And you're gonna go to hell if you don't start going to church, if you don't get saved. That's what she told me. And to me, I said it didn't make a difference, but now that I think about it, it stuck with me, because when I met my husband and he invited me to church that night, I met him in the bar, and he invited me to church that night, I told him, I'm not going to church. I said, there's nothing in the church but a bunch of hypocrites. I told him, I said, if I'm going to hell, I'm going from this bar stool and not a church pew. I'm going from the bar stool and not a church pew. And it was definitely hell, and the fear of going to hell and the possibility of going to hell that led me towards the church. You know, even though it was the love of God that drew me, but I didn't want to go to hell. And I don't think a lot of people out there who are in sin want to go to hell. And I don't think a lot of people in the church who are in sin want to go to hell. But if nobody's talking about hell, then, I mean, what do we do?
Well, I can say this. You know, what I've come to conclusion of, you know, there's so many people that are stubborn and self-centered that they want to run their own lives. That's the main reason why they're in the situation they are. They put themselves on the in the throne of God, on his throne, and dethroned God, put them there, like I said, themselves there, and they don't want nothing to do with God because they know the best for their own life. You know, that's the sick part about it. And the sad part about it is there is a way out, and his name is Jesus. When you turn your will and your life 110% over to his care and do what he instructs you to do and be obedient to his word, then we're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
But if we just go to church and go through the motions and have a lot of emotionalism going on and a whole lot of jiggling and wiggling and everything else like we do in the club, we do it in the church, you know, and we're going to church just to go to church, but not having a daily relationship, I'm sad to say they're not going to make it into the kingdom of God.
Well, can you help us out here? Because I know that there are a lot of people that are they're probably saying, again, you know, well, I go to church, but I do have some sin in my life. But I want to make it to heaven, but I just feel like I can't help myself. What do we say to these people who just feel like they can't help themselves? I mean, how much of this revival fire, how much of this is demonic influence? How much of this is bondage to that same darkness that we've been talking about, even
right.
In the church, where you have people in the church and they're coming week after week, but then they're still caught up in self-will. They're still caught up in sin. What do we say? I want you to help me out. What do we say
okay.
to these people?
What I would say to these people right now is the sin that you're in, you need to stop it. Just stop doing it. Like I tell alcoholics and drug addicts, stop using. You want to get delivered from this stuff, you just stop it. You put a plug in the jug and you don't drink no more or you don't use no more, and you just get on your hands and knees and cry out to God and repent of your sin and saying, I have fallen short of the glory of God. I need this sin out of my life. This is what it is, and I ask you to forgive me. Now, when you've done that, you don't go back returning to the vomit again, like it says in the Word, the dog returning to his vomit. You keep pressing on forward, and the main key thing is when you turn your will and your life over to the care of God. When you get born again, we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are his. We're not our own. So that means when you become born again, you have to check in with the Lord each and every day for what he's wanting you to do. It's a daily relationship. It's just like you, your husband and yourself, when you were seeing each other, you were talking, you were interacting with each other, spending quality time together. That's what you got to do with the Lord, you see. But when we start doing our own thing and distance the Lord away from us, and here's the other thing, not in the Word of God. See, if we're not in the Word of God, how do I know that I'm in sin?
Wow.
Because it's the Word of God that judges us. It's not me that judges anybody or you that judges anybody. It's the Word of God that judges. And when I speak the Word of God, or you do, or our apostle does, everybody gets all bowed up like an old boar coon. You know, you got cornered in the corner. Oh, you're judging me. Oh, blah, 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 you know. No, I'm not judging you. Don't kill the messenger. I'm just telling you what the Word says. The Word's convicting your heart.
That's
you
good.
See? And this is what the thing is. I was telling somebody just the other day, that called me up was needing the same type of help. And I'm saying, how much are you in the Word? Well, I read it now and then. I said, you can't read it now and then. So there's no excuse when you stand before God and he says, Mike Bradford, why didn't you get into the Word? I had audio on the Bible on CD. I had it on MP3, so you can put it in your iPods or whatever, you know, or your cell phone, your Android phones. I've got the Word of God in all aspects of your surroundings that you didn't want to take time out of your busy day and listen to what the Word says or read the Word of God.
Wow.
See, this is what the thing is. I tell people, you know, this day and age, everybody's, I call it the microwave society. They're hustling and bustling and going and here and there. Well, when you're in the car, you could have a CD in the CD player in the car, you know, listening to the Word of God, getting the Word of God down in your spirit. You could have a CD player at your home at nighttime while you're sleeping, put the CD in, turn the volume down low. Guess what? Like I told this individual, our spirit man never goes to sleep as only our natural body does. Our spirit man is always awake, and it's always gathering information. Always gathering information. You know, and again, and just like with a computer, our brains works just like a computer. Our heart's a hard drive. If we get a virus in there, well, that was when we were in the world. We've got this virus in there, so we had to get this virus out, so we got Jesus into our lives, which took the virus out of our life. And when that happens, then we start programming. See, you've got to program a computer to get it to work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing with our heart. If my heart's not programmed with the Word of God, and I'm eating, sleeping, and drinking the Word of God, metaphorically speaking, I'm totally in it. I'm hungry and thirsting for the Word of God and His presence. Guess what? When something happens, a trial comes along, I'm not going to curse God and die type situation like Job's wife told Job to say. No, I'm going to start quoting the Word of God for that situation.
My.
See, this is where holiness or hell, when we're walking in holiness, that means you're being a doer of the Word, like it says over there, you know, in Peter. I'm a doer, I think it's in James, I'm a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. I'm out doing the Word because it's inside of me, and I'm out doing it. It's, you know, and also the Word says work out your salvation daily with fear and trembling. You know, it's a daily process that we go through. We've got to stick forward. We've got to yearn so much. I mean, it's got to be first thing in our heart, Jesus Christ. If he's not first thing in our heart, then we really need to be checking ourselves to see if we're really born again. Go ahead.
Wow, that's good. Yes, I need to know, am I really saved?
Come on.
It says no one can serve two masters. You know, we think about the spirit of mammon, we think about God serving God. And also, I think about another thing what Paul said, food for the stomach and the stomach for food. He said, but I will not be mastered by anything, you know. And we just have to get to the point where we are not serving our master, sin or Satan. You know, we have to make sure that we're serving God. And that was so important what you were saying. As you were talking, I just thought about the love of God. The love of God. The love of God draws us towards repentance. I thought about the love of God where Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. You know, if you love my commandments are not burdensome. You know, they don't become a burden. It's a pure delight to please God. You know, I've gotten to a point in my life where I want to please God. You know, where
if I
mess up, you know, it's crazy. It's like when I was a little girl, if I messed up, it grieved me that my parents were not pleased with me. And it's the same way with me with God. You know, when I mess up and he chastises me, because he does, I feel that thing. It grieves me that I have made my Heavenly Father upset with me, you know, that I hurt him. And you know, when we're in relationship with someone, when we love someone, we don't want to hurt that person. We want to please that person. So like you said, you have to check yourself and say, you know what, am I really a born-again Christian? Am I really in relationship with the Father through the Son? You know, am I saved? Am I saved? So that is powerful. I tell you, the calls are lining up here, but I just thank you so much for calling in and helping us, because you helped somebody today in the chat room. You know, they're saying, you know, that is just powerful. You helped someone.
Amen. Thank you.
Man, I thank you so much for calling in. I had blocked.
Can I have a piece?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Can I have a piece of that?
Yeah, go ahead, Apostle.
Just recently, the Lord spoke to me. He says, I wish that my people would know me greater than the words in the book. God
wow.
wants us to have a more intimate relationship with him.
Amen.
That we can know him past the words in the Bible.
Wow.
We all three of us are married, so we know our husband and wives more intimately than just people that are around us. And God wants us to really get to know him. That with passion. Know him, and once you know him past words, then you know him in passion. We love our husbands and wives because of what we learn and what we know about them. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful because God wants us. He says, I want you to know more about me.
Wow. Yeah.
This is a dangerous saying, but I'm going to say it. It's a dangerous saying because a lot of people don't understand it. But the Bible gives a poor definition of who God is because he's much greater than words.
That's good.
He's much more than words.
That is a dangerous saying. You know what? That is a dangerous saying.
The heart, once we really see who God is, for who he is, and watch this. Thank you. There's something, well, we'll know him as he is when we see him. But see, we got the Holy Ghost, and that's his spirit. So the spirit of God knows the spirit of God, and he's trying to teach us who he is through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a teacher.
Wow.
He's just not a speaking in tongue running up and down the aisle. That's not what he's for. I mean, you know, some people, that's all he's good for is to run up and down the aisle speaking in an unknown tongue. No, the Holy Ghost will teach you. He will teach you, the Bible says, about the mysteries, the deep mysteries of God. The Holy Ghost will reveal those things. He that dwelleth in the secret place, that's where nobody knows. It's a place of God that nobody else but God wants to reveal himself to us greater. You say nobody greater? Nobody greater than you? Well, how do you know that? Unless you get to know him.
Wow. Yeah. That's the truth. And it all goes together, you know, because it's not a legalistic God that we serve. We serve a God of love and relationships. We serve a God of mercy and grace. We serve a God, you know, who sent his own son to die so that we could have life. You know, so, I mean, this God, after he chose the people, Israel, he put up with so much. He's long-suffering. You know, the same characteristics that God gives us through the Holy Ghost that are outlined in the book of Galatians chapter 5, starting with verse 22. Those same characteristics, some of them he talks about in the book of Exodus chapter 33 when Moses said to him, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And God said, you can't see my face, but I'll show you my hind part. You know, and as he was passing by, God began to declare the characteristics of who he is. You know, a God of mercy, a God of graciousness, a God of long-suffering, a God of kindness. It blew my mind. I was like, God, you know, you hide us and you continually show us your glory. And it's just so magnificent. Look, guys, we have to let somebody else in. I have about three more calls. But stay with me, guys, if you can. And if we need the time, question. The lines are going to be open, so I'm going to take this next caller. Area code 312, you're on the air. Welcome to Woman Show.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca.
God bless you, Erica. How are you, Niecy?
I am doing fantastic. I am being blessed by the word that's going forth. Oh, my goodness. I thank God for it because it is powerful, powerful, powerful. And I wanted to tell you congratulations, Prophetess. And so Pastor Amaker and the other gentleman that was speaking, you guys are on point with the word today. And this is what we don't want to hear. This is what people don't want to hear because we're too busy making excuses for why we don't want to get our life together.
Mm. Wow.
And habits can be broken just as well as they can be created. In the same way you develop a habit, the same way you can break it. And I went through a period in my life where I thought things couldn't be broken, where I thought I couldn't get away, where I thought it wasn't going to change. And I looked for help. And I tried to find it in any and every way that I could, and I tried to do everything that I could. But God did it. Why? Because I took out the time to submit myself to him. The Bible says, submit ourselves to him, resist the devil, he'll flee.
Yeah.
The thing is, we don't want to submit. We don't want to do what it takes to get the results. We want to reap the benefit, but we don't want to do the work.
Uh-oh.
We don't want to do the work.
Come on, sis.
And so, go ahead, Pastor Amaker.
No, you saying the right stuff now. You're talking the right talk. You said it. You don't want to submit. You don't want to let it go. So you don't have a lot of time in letting it go. Okay. You don't want to leave that house. You don't want to leave that man. You don't want to leave that woman. So it's going to be rough for you to leave. But I don't care. Shoot, somebody says, shoot, I sleep in my car. The Bible tells us, the Bible says it is better to live on the house than in the house. So if you want to get rid of it, if you want to stop, you can stop. People don't want to make that choice.
Absolutely.
We don't want to make that. We want to be saved in sin instead of being saved from sin. And you want God to change his word to fit your circumstance. Change his word. Lord, let me hold on to this and still you be pleased with me.
Not going to happen.
No. I tried it and I found out it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. It don't work.
It's not going to happen.
I'm telling everybody on the sound of my voice, it don't work. Try it. It don't work. God said he will not alter or change his word for nobody. Which means that we have to change ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
It starts
That's
with
it.
Us.
That's it. That's it.
But you have to have a want-to on the inside. You have to have a want-to to change, because if you don't want to change, then don't look for change. And we look for change, but we don't really want to change. We don't want to go through the process, what it takes to change, but we won't change. We just want it done for us.
Wow. I thank you so much, Erica, for calling in and for just speaking the truth from the pews, you know, because that is easy for us as clergy to stand up and say what we've been saying. But when the pews begin to speak up, then we know God is truly being, you know, the word is truly being received and God is truly being glorified, because it does come down to choice. It does come down. I was talking to the person that I muted earlier, and they were, you know, wanting to know why we believe what we believe. They said we cannot give a logical explanation for what we believe. And that's the truth, because we believe not through logic, but we believe through faith. You know, and it has to come to a point where, you know, you just believe God is because he is, you know. And it doesn't make sense, because God says he will take the foolish things to confound the wise.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're sitting up in here on this radio show saying that we can stop sinning if we choose to. You know, to a lot of people, that sounds like a whole bunch of foolishness. Like, what are you talking about?
Absolutely.
You know, but the truth of the matter, and that we would even want to in this time of sexual revolution, that we would want to stop sinning, and it's in this time when it's a woman's right to have an abortion, that we would want to stop sinning in a time when it's okay to be a gay, a bisexual, lesbian, a homosexual. You know, we got to get to the point where we have to realize that what we're saying and what we're talking about when we talk about our God, when we talk about God the Father, when we talk about the only God, the one God, one true God, when we talk about God, when we realize that it's not popular because we're not saying what people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. People don't want to hear that. They want to hear, look, it's my body, it's my life, it's my choice. And then when we start talking about, yes, your body is your life, is your choice, is your eternity in hell, man, you're really making people mad then.
Mm-hmm.
Because those
people are on their own agenda still.
Most
people are not on God's agenda, but they're still on their own agenda. And until we change our agenda into God's agenda, we'll continue to do the same thing. And people make excuses when they're being told the right thing because they don't want to change what they're doing.
Wow.
It's easier to make an excuse or be mad at someone else because God used them to convict you or to tell you what's right or what you should do or need to do. We get mad at the person. Why? Because we don't want to confront our problems. We don't want to confront our issues because we don't want to change.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Come on.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I want a little piece of that.
I'm going to give you a little piece of that, and then I'm going to take this next caller because they've been holding. But go ahead and take a piece of that. Area 727, I see you. As soon as Apostle speaks, I'm going to put you on the line. Go ahead, Apostle.
I had my funeral a couple of months ago. That's Mike. I had my own funeral. Stephen Amaker is dead. He no longer exists.
Wow.
My new name, my resurrected name is Slave.
Come
I'm
on.
A slave unto God.
Okay.
I have no will. I have no, as Sister Erica was saying, I have no agenda. I have no will. I have no mind.
Come on.
I have no thought of myself. All I want is what the master wants. Now, how,
okay.
As you say, prophetess, how can we, living in this society, be under the influence of somebody, watch this, that you can't even see or touch? You know, how can somebody rule you in this flesh society? But if you want to be, because you see, brother, you're going to be ruled by one person or the other. You're going to be ruled by God or you're going to be ruled by the devil. There's no middle ground. It's one or the other. And this is what we have to make the choice. I'm going to be ruled. I completely sell myself out to God. My will, my agenda, my thoughts, my feelings, my mind, everything is of God, belongs to God. And whatever I do, it's only because of what God wants me to do.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I tell you, that's good. I tell you, I'm going to take you. Stay with us. We got one more caller. Sister Erica, you're still on. Stay with us. We got one more caller, a couple callers. I'm going to put this caller on the air. It's area code 727. You're on the air. Welcome to the Women to Women show.
Hi. God bless you. Thank you for taking my call.
God bless you.
Can you
Welcome.
Hear me?
Yes.
I just want to thank you for your stand. I know that there are certain people who are listening right now and that are suffering and in a lot of pain and they're crying out and they're doing it in ways that show how wounded they are. I know that this is a day and age when there are the walking wounded all around us, and we must be willing
Amen.
To hear that pain, even through the anger and the rebelliousness that they've given into. And so I just thank God in Jesus' name that these people receive the healing that
yes.
they are so desperately in need of. And I thank you, sisters for and brothers, for your stand
Amen.
That you continue to express the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ to them through your ministry.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. That's a whole nother spin. Thank you. I'm glad that you called
Amen.
In and helped us long enough to say what you just said, because that is a very real truth, my sister. And that's really the reason
yes.
that I came into ministry in the first place, because God, the Lord began to reveal to me that there were so many women and men in the church who are hurting. And we cannot
yes.
overlook the fact that a lot of people are hurting. And that's why. That's another reason, other than choice. That's another reason. The pain is another reason that people pick up. People pick up drugs, and people pick up alcohol. People
yes.
pick up sexual activity partners because they are trying to medicate the pain. And there are a lot of people who are angry. There are a lot of people who are in the sin of anger, because the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your anger. You know, there are
Amen.
A lot of people with the sin of unforgiveness. They're holding bitterness and unforgiveness in their heart. When we've
yes.
been commanded to forgive, there are a lot of people not walking in love because they are hurting. They are hurting. And they cannot, these people don't, there are a lot of people who don't even know who they can trust because they have been so violated and they have
That's
been
right.
so messed over and messed up, you know, molested and abused, misused, neglected, abandoned. You know, all of these things that our brothers and sisters are sitting in God's house and they have not dealt with the pain of the past. And it's this very
exactly.
pain that keeps them in sin. You're right. That is a very valid point. It's this very pain that keeps so many men and women. I used to say women, but I know men cry in the dark too. It's this very
oh, I
pain
know.
Keeps so many in sin, in the very sin that they're supposed to hate, the very sin that God hates. Even though God does not hate the sinner, He loves the sinner. He hates the sin.
That's right.
But no, not but, because but was just nullified the yesterday. And you know, as true as that is, we have to recognize that there are people hurting, and we have to minister. When I minister to the hurt. I make sure every
yes.
time, because Jesus ministered to the hurting. That's what He did. He ministered to the hurting, and then He told them after He ministered to them and ministered healing, He said, "Now go and sin no more." You know,
right.
And that's where we got to get to, you know, where we are not just telling people to stop sinning, not telling people you're going to hell, you know, but telling people, look, God came, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, to bind the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, to open the eyes of the blind, to free those who are in captivity. You know, that Spirit of the Lord is upon us as ministers of
yes.
the gospel. And even as those of us in the pews, you still have a power to help somebody else get set free. And we have to minister to our brothers and our sisters and have the anointing. That's what we were talking about earlier, especially as leaders. We got to get our lives free of sin so that we could be free to operate in the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So that somebody can get free. You know, we got too many people sitting up in the church bound, like the woman sitting up there, 18 years bent over by an evil spirit. They're not getting free because the people in the pulpit, the minister does
Come
not get anointing because that person is not free. That person has not been set free. So they don't even have the power. They don't even know how to set somebody else free. So you're right. It's a vicious cycle. I mean, I don't know.
It's a cycle
know?
Of fear. That's what it is exactly. That is exactly what it is. It's a vicious cycle of fear. And we as believers have to stand up no longer in fear, but standing in that whole armor of God, standing on the word of God, and knowing that we have that authority in Jesus' name to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to bind up the brokenhearted. God called us to do the very thing that Jesus our Lord did. We have Him in us to do those very same things.
Wow. Wow. So I think you just lined up another line upon line. You know, you just lined up something else in the whole dynamics of what God is doing here. God is saying, what God is saying is that you can't be free. You don't have to live like that. And we got to preach that. We have to tell people they don't have to live sick and tired of being sick and tired. Both. Busted, disgusted, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for solutions in all the wrong faces. You will never find your answer. The Bible says, cursed is he who leans on the arm of flesh, but blessed is the man, blessed is the woman that trusts in the Lord. And when we take the word of God literally, and we begin to allow that word to transform us, to heal us, to begin to deliver us. You know, he talks about in Ezekiel, God says, I'll give you a new heart, and I'll put my spirit in you, and I'll move you to obey my way, my commandments.
Yeah.
You know, when we really get God up on the inside of us, you know, get God for real, you know, not just mouth service. Jesus said, you say, Lord, Lord, with your lips, but your heart,
He did not know them.
Come on.
He did not know them. He did not have that intimacy, and it's intimacy that's going to create that. We have to get intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to know him like he knows us. He knows our hearts.
You love Jesus. I know you love Jesus, and you have a heart for Jesus, and you have a heart for the hurting. You know, and God's going to use that.
Yeah.
He, you know, if he's not already, I sense that God's already using you to help people who are hurting, and he's going to continue to use that. Keep your calm in touch. You know, just
don't
let any education, no learning, no seminary, none of that stuff. Don't let anything take away the calm in touch, because you have the ability to go out and touch people and lay hands on the sick and sick in heart, and they will be set free. You got a word in your mouth that's going to set the free. You have the compassion of Christ, and God is using that for his glory. He's going to use it even more so. So you just get ready. God's getting ready to put you in front of some folk. And only you, you know, there are people, only you can do this assignment that he has for you. So
God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You guys, your lines are still open. God bless you. I mean, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
God is doing some awesome things. Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome. I'm sorry about all the background noise. I'm actually walking. I was supposed to be getting on the bus. I don't walk where I needed to go. I'm telling you, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. And I just give God the glory and honor. And just to let people know, if you just allow God, give him the time to work on you, to deal with you. Because, see, sometimes, although we go through things in life and we go through hurt and we go through trials and tribulations, if we learn to deal with us first, most of the time we are our biggest issue, and we keep ourselves from the healing that God has for us. And so we just have to stop and allow God to do what he needs to do in us so that we can move past the hurt, the pain, the abandonment, the neglect, the molestation, the whatever it may be. God can do it.
Yeah.
I am a living witness to what God can do. And he's still working. He's still working. And I thank him because I already have the victory in every situation already. I thank him because I can still stand strong and be bold in him, regardless of where I've been, regardless of what has occurred in my life. We have to stop using past for excuses for why we are not getting to our future.
Yeah.
Let it go, because there's nothing we can do about it anyway. But let God glorify himself through it. Let God glorify himself through it. And there is hope. He can change it all if you just allow him to do it.
Wow.
What we don't realize is we don't go through nothing for ourselves.
Absolutely.
We don't go through nothing for ourselves. Everything we go through is for somebody else, so that we can minister effectively to other people. Absolutely. So when you know pain and all these other things, so I said, I want you to know what they're feeling so that you can minister to them out of compassion, out of love. The reason why the church is not winning souls anymore because we don't know the pain that the people are dealing with. We try to put on this facade. I don't know nothing about. But 99 and 9 tenths of us have been in the church. We have been through some kind of pain, shape, form, or fashion. And as Erica just said, that we have to allow God to work on us.
Yes.
That's a bad thing. We're not letting God work on us. God wants to do a work.
That's right.
The only way he can do a work is to do a work in us. And as the other caller says, that Jesus said, greater works. How are we going to know the greater work? Unless we come through and go through what he went through. You had to lay hands on the sick. Oh, well, you got to know what it is. People right now, people want to know, well, preacher, how do you know what I'm going through? How do you know what it feels like? But then when you turn around and you say, because I've been there. What? You've been here? Yes. I've been there. I've seen that. I've experienced it. I've been through it. No. And see, what's so good about God is that he does not look like what we've been through. He does not make us look like, allow us to look like, rather, what we've been through. The Bible says the Hebrew boys came out of the fiery furnace, and they weren't burned. They
Amen.
Weren't finished. The clothes didn't even smell like smoke. And that's what God wants us to do. He's going to bring us through things without even showing the effects of it. Because when you minister, and Prophetess Rebecca, I listen to how you minister, and I watch what you say, and then I say, well, see, she knows what those ladies are going through because she's been there.
Mm.
But to look at you, you'll never know you've been there because of what God has done in our lives.
Yes.
Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is moving. It's 2:30. Pastor Anthony is here. He hasn't raised his hand. He's just been listening. He went out today to give out fires in the city of Elizabeth. And he's been
good.
Listening. We have I don't know if I want to put you on the line, caller, a real black guy. I'm going to put you on the line. I'm hoping that you are not coming to play. But I'm going to put you in the line because this is an open forum, and we want to give everybody an opportunity to speak. Your line is open, a real black guy. You're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman Show.
Nigga.
Okay. That's that same person. I figured that was the same person that was calling back before. Pastor Anthony. God bless you, hon. You're on the air. Welcome to the Woman to Woman Show.
Amen. God bless you. I'm so mightily blessed by the show today. It's so awesome. As you just said, I'm out here doing an evangelistic effort for the Lord in the city where our church resides. And even as that brother threw on the rap music, so disrespectful, sometimes we as believers got to get to that place where we'll be rejected for the things of God.
Amen.
And
watch out now. Watch out.
Okay, amen. But when I come out to the community, amen, Apostle, God bless you. When I come out to this community, I deal with a lot of that, and in the flesh, I don't want to do it. But God unctioned me, and also through the voice of my wife, as we do ministry trying to be a church effective in this community. I hear the rap music sometime when I knock on the doors. Sometimes I see the little brochure on the ground, or I see the rejection from the people. But as Erica said, and I'm hearing of two kinds of people today, those who really want deliverance and those who want it but don't know how to get it. So what you guys are sharing is so powerful because Pastor Becca, Apostle, and Erica and so many on the line, there are some people sitting in our churches that want true deliverance and healing. And shows like this just add to the preach word on Sunday and the Bible study on Wednesday. So I thank God for Pastor Rebecca, you setting this platform. But I look at my own life, and I wanted to be faithful to one woman. I wanted to know how to be a father to my children. I wanted to know how to budget my money and get ahead in life. So as Sister Erica said, it got to be a desire, a sincere desire that God can work with, because he doesn't allow hypocrites into the glory. So I just believe that this show today is making a difference, and I thank God for that other caller that said we got to have compassion like Jesus and go to the lost sheep of Israel. So I'm going to continue to listen, but I've been tremendously blessed by what I've heard thus far.
Yeah. Thank you, honey. Thank you so much for calling in. And I tell you, God is good. This is my first day back, and he just took over. God, the Lord took over. This was all about him and none about
Amen.
Us. I'm just glad that he's getting the glory. So in this last 25 minutes, all of you, we still have Apostle Amaker on the line. We have Revival Fire on the line. Sister Erica's on the line with us. Anybody else that wants to call in, you can call in. This is definitely a conversation where you can partake of. Or let us know what's on your heart. You can call in to 646-652-4832 and let us know what's on your heart. We want to talk about everything that needs to be talked about in the time that we have to do that. So, while we're waiting for other callers to call in, and if anybody that's already on the line has anything else to say, you're free to go ahead.
I thank God for Pastor Anthony doing evangelism. The problem with the church is that there's no money in evangelism, so all the evangelists stop being evangelists. And started being other things. and so somebody is going to have to go back to the basics. And the Lord spoke to me the first of the year, said, go back to the basics. I said, what is the basics? He said, go back to souls. Go back
wow.
to winning souls. Go
Amen.
Back to teaching people how to be saved, teaching people how to come out, how to be delivered. Pastor Anderson said there's a lot of people. That young man, believe it or not, that young man that put on this stuff earlier, that's a cry.
Yes, it is.
That's a cry out for, I need help. I need deliverance. You see what I need deliverance from. You see what I need help from. You see what I need, and that's a cry. And are we attentive enough to hear his cry out? Are we attentive enough to pray, not to hate him, but to pray that the Lord to send deliverance
Amen.
To this house? Because watch this. God can do what we can't do, and that's to go over
Amen.
Into his house and walk in his living room and slay him and fill him with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
But it takes a life in order to it takes a life on our part. Like the sister said, Jesus said, just greater works. That's the greater works. Because now watch this. Jesus didn't have telephone or computer. But now we got computer. So we got telephone. So he's listening. So we can speak the word. That come out. The man said, I'm not worthy of you to come to my house. Just speak the word. If you just speak the word, I know my servant will be healed. Okay, so
come on.
I'll speak the word. In the name of Jesus, we send deliverance to that young man. The devil stopped tormenting his spirit and his body and his mind. And the prophet, she already prayed for him, and I'm just adding on. We're speaking it because we live holy. And God, he respects our lifestyle so much so that he said this, in this final hour of life as we know it, prophetess, Pastor Mike and Pastor
Amen.
Pastor Anthony, in this final hour, I'm going to do things greater
Come
than
on.
Has ever been recorded in the history of time.
Amen.
And that is allow the spirit that is in our voice, in our mouth, to go through the phone line, to go through the internet lines, to go through the airwaves, and the Holy Ghost. He's going to show up in our behalf. Why? Because the man and the woman of God has commissioned him to go and move and do. That's what he's waiting on. I'm waiting on somebody to tell me in the earth realm what to do. Oh, y'all, man. Come on, y'all.
Come on.
The angels and the Holy Ghost is waiting for someone to speak and give him the direction, what he know. But you can't be playing with it. You can't be playing with it. You got to be real about it. The Holy Ghost, he don't, like Jesus said, the devil cannot cast out the devil. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Wow.
I'm done. I'm done.
Amen. I'm telling you, God is just so good. I was just talking to the young man in the chat room, you know, just basically explaining to him, you know, that God does have a great plan for his life, that God loves him, and God wants to see him set free. I asked him, was he happy? And he said that, you know, that I was force-feeding him my religion. And when I asked him, was he happy in his life, he said, that's an old question that we use to exploit people's needs. And I explained to him that that's what God does. He meets our needs. And he said that all scammers use that line. And I wanted to know, and I asked him, what do I have to gain from it? What reason would I have to scam anyone about Jesus and about God? You know, what would I gain? And he says that my religious leaders will have everything to gain. I just want to talk to El Foxo Coco, as you call yourself. We have nothing to gain. You know, the people on this line, we're from New Jersey. Where are you from, Revival Fire?
Missouri, Southwest Missouri.
Missouri, my God, Missouri. Florida, Erica's from Chicago. You have people from all across the United States on this call today. And we have one thing in common, and that is Jesus Christ. We are Christians. All of us are Christians. And you did not just happen to come here. Satan sent you here because he wanted you to try to mess with the saints. Havoc in this broadcast, and also God led you here. There are always two dynamics working in your life, the evil and good, and God, because of his divine planning, led you to this place where you have real Christians who really care about you. We really, you know, we don't know you. We have nothing. We don't want your money. I never asked for money. You know, we're not asking you to come to our church. We don't even know you. That's what I'm saying to you. We don't know you. If we didn't have God, we would be cursing you out right now. You know, or we would be yelling and screaming at you, you know, hanging up on you. I wouldn't even let you talk in the chat room. When you were talking profanity, I block you. But when you stop using profanity, I open it up so that you can let your voice be heard. God wants to hear. He's concerned about what you have to say, too. It's not just about us force feeding. We could dialogue, but, you know, and when I opened up the phone lines, you came up with nonsense, so I couldn't even put you on the phone lines. But what I'm saying to you, man, woman, is that God loves you. You know, God loves you. That's why he has, we're intelligent. We're learning. We have degrees. We've been to school. We're not ignorant. You know, but we believe by faith in the real, true God. And we know by faith that God wants you to be saved from the eternal damnation of hell as well. But not only that, but he wants to manifest his glory in your life on this earth. He doesn't want, it's not just about going to heaven, but it's about God doing some magnificent things for you and through you right here on this earth. And that's the bottom line. It's not a scam. I don't get anything for saying that. I get no brownie points. You know, I don't get elevated, but I'm just telling you the truth. And you can take it or you can leave it. And it's my prayer that you would take it. Go ahead, Apostle.
prophetess, what he don't understand is the devil is God's do boy. God uses the devil for his glory.
Wow.
He's here under divine purpose. It's by the will of God. God motivated the devil to make him come here. But God is working in his life right now as we speak. God is setting him free. God is delivering him. Because he's hearing the word of God. And the Bible says, my words should not go out void. He needs to hear holiness. That's what he needs to hear. He needs to hear the sound of voice, the sound of holiness. The sound of holiness has a power with all of it on itself. So God manipulated the devil to make him come here. Yes, he came with one thing in mind, but checkmate. That's about the best way I can say it. Checkmate. Because the Holy Ghost, he never fails. He never loses. You're here, brother, because the Holy Ghost is coming to your house. And he's going to spiritually arrest your spirit. And the best thing I can tell you, the best thing I can tell you to do is say yes. When you come in, just say yes. Don't reject him. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't reject him. Let him tell him, say, come on in. Okay, I got a lot of questions. God, are you real? And watch what God do for you. I'm listening. I'm looking for a testimony to come out of this. Oh, yeah, how God delivered this young man. How God has set this young man free. How God has opened his eyes. How God has filled him with the Holy Ghost. How God has saved his soul from hell. It's by divine appointment that the brother is here. It's by divine appointment. I can't see no other way.
Yes, hallelujah.
No other way. Like somebody said earlier, because of the intimate relationship we have with God, that I know better than what he's saying.
Come on.
He thinks the devil set him up, but God set up the devil to use this opportunity to win him. Hey, it's too late. The word has already went out.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever
God
sent it up to do.
So, Father, we just thank you even for the soul that was saved on today, oh God, that the seed has been planted, oh God. And we declare that word will not come back void. We declare right now in the name of Jesus that it shall bear fruit, that it shall take root and bear fruit in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, oh God, for the testimony that will come forth, oh God, even on today, God. Person will come back and say, I was there and I was skeptical and I was a non-believer, but now I believe. Lord, we just thank you for your will being done. Not our will, but let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And that's what it's about, because I've been there. Where I've had these same conversations about God when I was a non-believer. And, you know, we've all been there. But we were not believers, and
come on.
God planted the seed, and then he came back and he sent somebody to water it until it began to take root and sprout up in my life. And look at me now, you know. So I believe 20 years ago I sat in the seat of the scorner. So I know what it feels like not to be a believer, but we have to preach this gospel, and you guys have done just that today. You have preached the gospel. You have preached the gospel.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Yes. Thank the Lord for the word. The word has a power of its own. We don't have authority over the word. The word has authority over us, and we don't have authority.
I just thank God for all of you, and for those who are ministering in the chat room. There are people in the chat room ministering. I just thank God for Minister Valerie Allen, Pastor Larry Sarton in the chat room, Revival Fires in the chat room, Evangelist Cynthia Robinson's in the chat room, El Fox Okoko. Thank God. We thank God for you being in the chat room and for everybody who was there earlier and those who on the phone lines. I just thank God for all of you.
Amen.
Amen.
We only have 10 minutes, and our guest, El Foxococo, has asked the question. I do find it funny how often your leaders turn out to be child molesters. Do they go to hell for molesting children? I don't know if anybody wants to take a stab at that as we go off the air, that question.
We don't have time for the foolishness. We don't have time for the foolishness. What we're here for is to get you delivered.
Yeah.
Let's keep preaching deliverance to him.
Right.
Don't let the devil take us into something that, people do what they do, but they need deliverance too. And let's stay with him being delivered. And the Lord, come on, y'all. Let's keep preaching Jesus. Keep expounding Jesus to him.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious the Holy Ghost is working.
Because
if it wasn't, the devil wouldn't be making him say all kind of, stuff like that to get us off focus.
Amen. Yeah, to get us off focus. And I just want to say that every sinner who rejects the truth up in hell. Hell was not created for humans. But Satan will take a great deal of people to hell. They will go to hell. Yeah. So if you are unrepentant in your sin, no matter what your sin is, if you're unrepentant in your sin and you do not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So no matter what the sin is, if the sinner does I'm not talking about perpetrators and hypocrites, but if you don't authentically enter into a relationship with God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, then hell is going to be your final destination. So
amen.
I pray that this answers your question.
I got one thing.
Go ahead.
You know, God is not going to send nobody to hell. I'm going to send myself to hell for my disobedience to the Word of God. That's what sets the standards, is His Word. It's His word that I've got to live it out every single day. It's not no man's word or anything else. It's what the Word of God has to say. And if I'm being obedient to the Word of God, then I'm going to make it into heaven. But if I'm being disobedient to the Word of God, God's judgment will be upon me because I'm being disobedient and rebellious. You know, and this is where the rebellious comes in, where you got demons that are harassing you, or you're being oppressed by them. You know, and this is what the people make wrong choices. Well, they need to seek deliverance, and you're seeking deliverance by being around the Word of God, which is going on here today, and at El Foxococo is getting delivered by the Word of God that is being spoken forth here on this broadcast.
Amen. Amen. And that's the truth. And one more thing, Pastor Larry Sarton is with us from Chicago. That's Erica's pastor. God bless you, my brother. He says that the blood of Jesus will clean even a molester from sin as well, but he must repent. He must ask for forgiveness. So that's another thing that you have to know, that God will forgive you of any sin. If you're a child molester, El Foxococo, God will forgive you. If you have been molested, God wants you to forgive your molester. So forgiveness is still in order. If you repent, God will forgive you. So we just want to make it clear that you can be forgiven of any sin as long as you are repentant of that sin. Wow. Anybody else? We have 7 minutes. We're going to close out because God has been speaking to give us somebody who's not saved. We've been talking about salvation. We have another caller. We've been talking about salvation. If you're not saved, you can be saved.
Maybe we can close some of the mics. There's a lot of interference.
Yes, yes. Okay, I close because Erica's taking a walk, so I close her mic. But repentance is key if you are not saved. If you just repent, you realize that your sin is wrong and that you don't want to keep living your life on your own, but you want to give your life to the Lord. You want to give your life over to God and let him be in control, come into the kingdom, have that God have dominion over your life through the kingship of Jesus Christ. You can do that. You can repent today. And we've been preaching the gospel the entire 2 hours. And you can say, I heard the gospel. I believe the gospel. I believe that Jesus came and died for my sins. And I believe and receive that forgiveness for my sins and return from my sins today and give my life to God. You can be a believer today, a born-again believer. Ask the Holy Ghost to come in and abide on the inside of you, to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you will no longer be in control, but relinquish your control over to God. The Holy Ghost will take care of that for you today. And if you do that, just email me at powerintheword1@yahoo.com and say, you know, Pastor Rebecca, I got saved. I gave my life to the Lord listening to your show. And what do I do now? And I will guide you onto your next step. We're going to take this last caller. Area code 973, you are on the air. Tina L. Lane, welcome to the broadcast.
God bless you, Pastor Rebecca. What an awesome show. So let me call in and off the word that you were stating, and also offer words to Sister Erica and other pastor, Pastor Anthony, on time word, everything that was said. So I just wanted to call and say thank you for the message for today, because it was well needed. I received it. I was blessed by it. I also wanted to say congratulations for Friday on April 20th, becoming a prophet. So that was about it. I just wanted to say those words.
Well, thank you, amen, so much for calling in and for listening on my first day back. We've had a hot broadcast on today, and that's the fire of the Lord. I thank God for the fire of the Lord burning hot, because he said we should not be lukewarm. We should be hot or cold, and I just thank God that these Christians are on fire.
Amen.
For the Lord, and that we are on fire, and we're not going to let anything quench that fire, not even sin. Amen. We're going to turn our back on sin today, and even the little sins is still sin. Some of us we've been straddling the fence, and we need to just come on in.
Amen.
Come out the rest. So, to God be the glory. Thank you so much for calling in. I love you. I appreciate you.
I love you, too. Pastor Rebecca, one last thing?
Yeah.
One last thing?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Just one last thing, if you can, if you have a moment. I just had to bring my mother into the emergency room. So, if you have a moment, we can just lift her up in prayer.
Definitely. We'll pray for mom right now. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name right now. Oh, God, you are worthy to be praised. We glorify you on today, God. And we just thank you that you are already in our midst. You said with two or more gathered, you will be in our midst, oh, God. Lord, we just thank you for being with us on today. We thank you for souls being saved and lives being changed, even as I opened in prayer for the sick being healed, oh, God. And, Lord, we pray for Tina Lane's mother right now in the name of Jesus, even as she had to be brought to the emergency room. You said that by the stripes of Christ we are healed, oh God, that you bore our infirmities on the cross. So Lord, we just thank you that the blood covers her on today. We plead the blood and we pray the prayer of faith on today for her healing. We anoint her with the anointing of the oil of the Holy Ghost, oh God. In the name of Jesus, and we declare her healed in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, whatever the affliction is, Father God, we take it under control of the Holy Ghost right now, and we declare total healing, oh God, knowing, Lord, that we walk by faith and not by sight, and we believe for a good report, oh God, even now, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, lay your hands on her, oh God. Lay your hands on her right there in the emergency room. Lay your hands on her, oh God. Touch her, oh God. Let virtue go forth from this broadcast. Let virtue go forth from this prayer.
Lord.
Let virtue and dunamis power go forth, oh God, and heal her. Right now, we declare her healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is done. It is done. God is still a healer. And whatever it is that a mom is dealing with, God can handle it. His arm is not too short.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. And they're agreeing. And Minister Valerie Allen and the pastors on the line all agree. Listen, it's 2:59 and my show is over. We have one more minute. I'm glad that all of you joined me on today. I just want to I'm going to go over time about 5 minutes. I just want to give each and every person a chance for any closing remarks, those of you who are still holding Erica Apostle. Pastor Anthony, we're going to start with Erica. Erica, closing remarks.
I just want to say God bless you all. Thank you for the show today and letting God have his way.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you. I'll talk to you soon. I love you.
Love you.
Amen. Sister Tina Lane, closing remarks.
God bless you, Pastor. I just want to say thank you for the prayer and thank you for the show. And everything that you said today and everyone said was powerful. People have to listen to this word and understand to get in a relationship and be willing to change. And that's where they'll know the real power of Christ.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. I love you. I'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Amen. Okay, we are with Revival Fire. Closing remarks, sir?
Yes, greetings and salutations to everybody, and just thank you for having me being on here as a guest caller. And, you know, it's about the Word of God. It's about a daily relationship. And like has been said, we've got to know deeper by the leading of the Holy Ghost who Christ really is in our lives and who God really is in our lives. Because the Holy Ghost, he's our teacher. He's the one that teaches us all things, that the teacher of truth. So we have to be hooked into the Holy Ghost on a daily, daily walk. And that's all I've got. God bless you all.
Jesus, God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Okay, Apostle Amaker, closing remarks, sir.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. We thank God for the souls. We just thank I'm just elated. I'm excited. I'm just wow. Look what God is doing. Look what he's doing. You say people are getting saved over the internet. They're getting delivered over the internet. And I'm just excited about because we got the victory. We got the victory. One, you said, quote the scripture earlier, one water, another planet. One planet, another water, but it's God who brings the increase. It's God who's going to save him. It's God who's going to deliver him. And we just thank God for a victory.
Amen.
Congratulations again. Congratulations to the elevation. And Pastor Anderson, Pastor Anthony, thank you. Thank God for you and all the listeners. Be blessed in Jesus' name. God bless.
Amen. Thank you, sir. God bless you. And congratulations to you on what God is doing in your life as well. My wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband, Pastor Emney, I want to allow you to have closing words, and then we're going to close it down. It's 3:02. Amen.
Just how appropriate Jeremiah 1 coming to pass, where he'll call the prophet to tear down and to root up, to build up and to plant. So I just thank God that the bricks in the wall of skepticism were torn down today. Those callers that tried to justify sin, I believe they're free. That brother that tried to deny Christ, I believe he's free. So thank God for the skeptic, because I was skeptical at one time in life, and we had unbelief. But thank God that our trust is in the Lord, and when we as believers begin to walk by faith and not by sight, that's going to continue to tear down walls of skepticism. People don't know who to trust, but we got to remind them to trust God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, honey. That was powerful. And on that note, we'll close out. I invite you all to come over to the church any given Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m. That's our service time. We're at New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. The Word of God is going forth, and we believe in Jesus, and the blood of Jesus still has power. So come over and worship with us. Come over on this Friday at 7:30 p.m. We'll have a healing and deliverance service along with a commissioning of the prophet. Amen. Yours truly, Pastor Rebecca Simmons. I thank God, and I'm truly humbled by this next assignment in my life. So we're going off the air right now. James Fortune, he's saying, I believe. Captain Ray is 304. This song will last 5 minutes and 37 seconds. I believe. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.
This keeps me going. On those days when I feel like giving up, fire.
Here we go.
have moved.
I believe you made it through it. Oh, I believe it's already done.
I'm excited about your future.